This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mick Delivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is a full house. I've got Max Cohen, Yanis Janais, and making his return, Mike O'Connor. In this episode, we're going to look back at the disappointing 2-1 loss for Fulham against Arsenal at the Emirates. Fulham come up short, but I think that they really showed a good future here. I think they actually showed the whole league and everyone around the world that we mean business, that we're going to be in the Premier League. I truly believe that. I think this was a statement in a loss. Can you get positives in a loss? I'm going to make that argument. But we're going to talk about it in this next hour. It should be interesting. And if you're watching live, please feel free to share your comments. And also, as always, subscribe on YouTube and also on any podcast that shows Cottage Talk. Please do subscribe. Okay, guys, let's not waste any time. Let me go to Mike O'Connor, because I want to welcome him back. Mike, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. Thank you so much for having me, especially on such a short notice. It's great to be back, and I've been looking forward to this pretty much all weekend. obviously, the game more so.
Right.
And overall, you know, it's a satisfactory loss. I do think so, because to be honest with you, in my head, I came in thinking we were going to lose 3-0, not because I have anything against this Fulham team or Marco Silva, but Arsenal just really look like this young, motivated, well-drilled side. So all in all, 2-1, I think, is a fair result if you want to be an objective viewer and kind of take the emotion out of it. And I think that this is a loss that in juxtaposition to, like, let's say Bournemouth versus Liverpool and any of the other losses that happened this weekend, I think it's one that the players can hold their heads up high, and there may have been one or two tactical decisions that could have swayed the game towards the end of it, and we'll get into that. But I think the loss is fair, and I'm not upset with it by any means. I think every player did their due diligence, and they can look forward to Brighton.
Okay. And I'm glad that you brought up Bournemouth, because I actually feel sorry for our friends at Back of the Net, and I'll call them friends because they've I've actually done a podcast with Back of the Net that covered Bournemouth, and boy, 9-0. Who would you rather be, Max? Would you rather be Fulham on Sunday? Would you rather be Bournemouth? Oh, my Lord. But Max, I want to go to you, and I'm going to ask you the question as I ask every week. Mad Max or Optimist Max? What are your thoughts about the match?
Yeah, no, I think Mike made the great point that, you know, look at the other newly promoted side and look how they did away at a team who honestly had a worse start to the season than Arsenal did. Let's be honest. So, no, I'm definitely an optimist, Max. Russ, I think the way we played, we forced Arsenal to grind their way to 3 points at
home
for newly promoted side. This is a side which is perfect in the league, and we gave them their toughest opposition yet. And they've played Bournemouth, they played Leicester, and they played Crystal Palace. So, to me, I think we'll be fine this year, based on the evidence of this match alone, because the players were excellent. And again, this squad is so weak. The starting 11 that played against Arsenal, again, I said this last week against Brentford, it's almost the same 11, but Cabano came back in. Right. It's not really a Premier League starting 11 in many respects. The back four is still essentially the same. Yes, we have Leno, who is a big upgrade. But look at that front three. That was not even our top front three in the championship. So I have to say credit to Marco Silva. He's working wonders with this
squad.
Getting
the most out of him.
But the other frustration is we've no one on the bench. And I think we're going to talk about transfers. We have to talk about depth. Sure. This squad is not good enough at the moment to really compete. But Silva's making them good enough, which is amazing. He's getting the most and some out of the team. But when we're chasing a match like we were yesterday, and we turn to the bench and the best you can come up with is Kearney and Mbabu, you have to ask questions. So I'm delighted with the performance. Of course, to give away the result with the way we did was frustrating. But also frustrating is that if we had actually some players coming in, and if Wilson and Solomon weren't injured, we could have gotten a lot more out of this.
Possibly, Max. And it's a good point. Listen, there's no question that the bench is razor thin, and potentially we still need a starter or two as well. So I understand where you're coming from. It's a double-edged sword, Max, before I go to Giannis with me and the transfer window, because I agree with everything that you said. I said that we need five players. Marco's saying four players. Okay, we can quibble on four or five, right? It's a lot to ask before the window closes. However, I do want to mention that several of these signings have been already showing itself, and even Leno showed himself in this last match. That's the thing. They brought in quality, and he's getting the most out of all of the players. But, Max, you're 100% right. If they want to have a successful season, if they – again, I'm going to say this. If they don't want to be dealing with a relegation battle, I'm going to say it right now. If they bring in reinforcements, Max, we might be comfortable mid-table by three-quarters of the way in the season. But that means we have to get reinforcements, or it's a relegation battle. I would rather deal without that relegation battle, and that means recruitment. So I'm with you there, Max. Okay, good stuff, good stuff. Mr. Janaeus, how are we doing?
Shell-shocked.
Shell-shocked?
Yeah. I mean, I'm gutted for the players. My job, you know, defining of us as a group, how we bounce back from this. I had to phone Floyd last night. I was so upset. Oh, sorry, I'm not Scott Parker.
I had a feeling that you were doing a Scott Parker. I had a feeling that's where you were going, Giannis. I had that feeling.
You know what? It's funny. I'm going to use that term, fine margins. But,
yeah.
You know, a nice goal by Mitro. The lads really, really battled. But Max absolutely nailed it. And it's funny because I was umpiring a cricket match yesterday after the game. And at the end of the game, I was talking to a player who's an Arsenal fan. And obviously, we both watched the game. And I said, what do you make of your boys this year? You know, you're doing really well. And he said, what I see the difference between us and you is our bench is stronger.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very telling comment because they can get world-class stars. Most of the teams in the division can. And you look at ours and we're a little bit weak there. So the next 48 hours is going to be key in terms of getting enforcement. And I thought we battled hard. I thought we probably deserved a draw. A bit of luck on their equaliser. I think VAR should have scratched their head with the second goal.
Well, we're going to talk about that, Giannis.
But overall, I'm pleased with the effort. And big game coming up on Tuesday against another very good side, Brighton.
Okay, excellent stuff. Okay. Mr. O'Connor, back to you. I want to get your thoughts on the strategy of Marco Silva in this match. What's great about Silva is that he's not afraid to change things up, and he's not afraid to go up against a side like Arsenal. And again, I think the way that Fulham were set up was to basically take advantage of Arsenal when we had the ball and create some opportunities, which they did, but be solid in the back. What did you make of Fulham's tactics against Arsenal? Just talking about how we were set up.
So overall, I can't, under Marco Silva, especially in the four games so far we've seen this season, this is the most well-drilled, organized Fulham side that I've seen in quite some time. So to Max's point earlier about having potentially not the quality, despite Marco getting the most out of the players we have, yeah, is the most of the players we have good enough to survive at the end of the season without reinforcements? You know, I also doubt that. But the way that he's drilled them, their organization, the covering for one another, the defense, I mean, looking at Tim Ream, who I'm a huge fan of, but he's going on 35, and he's playing in the best league in the world, arguably, and he is probably one of our standout defenders. I think that's very telling for Marco Silva and his team, because too many fans have slagged him off. Robinson, Tete, which is unbelievable. Tosin was supposed to be the one that would be our mainstay in the back and be the future. And, you know, looking at the four of them, he might be the weakest out of these four matches so far. So I think overall, with the addition of Paulinho, Reed, and Pereira in the middle, midfield is looking great. It's very obvious, though, that in the match yesterday, this is the most defensive I've ever seen Marco set us up to do, which is fine. And I understand that. The only thing that he did yesterday that I disagreed with, and I had a feeling they were going to score on us, was when he made the substitutions that he did at the time that he did. I think he did it a little too early, and this sounds horrible, but it felt a little Parker Ball-ish, only because you could tell at that time he was setting up for a draw. And if you set back with the players we have against a side like Arsenal, with the players they have and the momentum they were building throughout the game, I kind of just felt it coming. But that being said, he's dealing with the cards he has. And so I think overall, he's a phenomenal man manager, and he set us up well-organized, drilled, and we were unlucky to not come away with a point.
Okay, excellent stuff. And I just posted here on the show a question. Did Marco get it wrong with his substitutions? We'll talk about that when we really break down the second half, but that's something that if you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts on. We'll get back to that in just a bit. Over to you, Mr. Janaeus. Your thoughts on the tactics against Arsenal from Marco?
I was a little bit worried because of the game on Tuesday. Did he make the subs because he had an eye, you know, eye ahead for Tuesday's game?
Possibly.
He wanted to rest players up. Yeah, I mean, there were a few players moaning about the Crawley game, but crumbs almighty, man. I mean, he had to rest the players that played last week against Brentford. I saw some criticism of Mbabu, but then people forget Mbabu set up the cross that got Mitro's winner against Brentford last week. So you can't, you know, you can't have it always. You've got to give players a little bit of time. It was a bit defensive, but you're playing in front of 60,000 at the Emirates. Yep. An Arsenal team that's going gangbusters. And if he thinks he's made a mistake, he's a pretty self-reflective coach. And that's a pretty self-reflective coaching staff. So they'll debrief it, probably have done it already today. And if they've made mistakes, they'll recognize it and they'll move forward and rectify them for the Brighton game.
Okay, excellent. Max, your thoughts. I'll give you the final word on just the tactics of Marco Silva and his coaching staff.
Oh, they're great. You know, we soaked up pressure really well. I think credit to Anthony Robinson. I think he had an excellent game.
Again,
we had to shout him out here because, you know, I gave him stick in the past for not being a very good defender. And I think put that completely to bed. I mean, wow, he just shut down Saka and Martinelli in this match. I do think the Tete substitution is the only issue because I understand why he did it. I think on paper it was the right call because Mbabu was such an effective substitute against Brentford. But I mean, I don't envy his position, Mbabu coming into a match like that when we know under the cosh, but he was seriously off the pace, and you know he got beat so many times in that right back position, and you could argue, you know, him getting beat led to score it. So, just the only thing I think I would draw issue with, because honestly, Tete wasn't struggling in my opinion. You know, I think Tete a lot of times looks like he pulled a muscle or he's going down with cramp. I didn't see that leading up to the substitution, so it led me to believe it was tactical. I think that was the only issue I had.
Okay. And I've seen it talked about with Tete. Like I said, that situation, the substitutions, that's a question when we talk about the second half, when we analyze that. I think it's something that we need to go into a little bit further when we talk about the substitutions. It's been a question that many Fulham supporters have had. Why did he take off Kenny Tete? And Max, I think you're making the argument that I think is the reason behind it. And Mbabu in the last game made a difference, and I think he was thinking he could potentially do it again. And it just didn't work out that way. And when you're playing against a team like Arsenal, to get really up to speed that quick is difficult, and it just didn't come off. And again, you could make the argument that he was obviously involved in the winning goal leading up to that. So I see why fans are upset about Mbabu, but I also think, as you said, Max, to be fair, he's put in a very difficult situation against a difficult opponent in a difficult place at a difficult time. All the odds were stacked against him. It was hard, but, you know, and again, listen, you have to try things. And he was going, I'm talking about Marco. My opinion was going on based on what had happened, setting up Mitro for the winning goal and was being very effective in the last match. So I think that's where it's going, but or where it went. Anyways, one more topic before we talk about the starting 11. This is going right back to you, Mr. Janaeus. I've watched this a few times. Again, we can touch on this when we talk about the second half, but I've watched this several times now. I've seen screenshots of this. Giannis, this is handball, okay? I've seen it now. I've seen a screenshot that slowed it down. This is handball. Did VAR get it right on second Arsenal goal? Did they get this right or did they get this wrong on the match winner? Your thoughts?
I think if it had been the Cottage, we might have got the call.
That's what I think. I think this was a hometown call, Giannis.
Yeah, it's disappointing. We're going to moan and groan with the calls. All I want is the right call. If it's not a handball, don't give it. If it's a handball, give it. If you watch all these games in the Premier League and you watch as a neutral, you just want the right calls to be made. It was a disappointing call. Coach Marco was obviously upset. You know, he was concerned at the end of the game, and rightly so. And that's why he said he thought we should have got a point out of it. But, you know, as old Coach Wenger used to say, that calls have a way of evening themselves out.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, we get a few going on our own. But the manner was disappointing because I thought for 86 minutes we'd done enough to get the draw, and our shape was really excellent yesterday. We didn't, you know, they had lots of possession, but they didn't really trouble us. And we looked like a team that belonged in the division, which is something that for many parts of 2 years ago couldn't be said about this. So, to your point, it was a handball and it should have been given, but it wasn't.
Okay. Max, I want to get your thoughts on this because, again, watching this live, I've seen all different angles on it. Then I saw a screenshot. When you really slow it down, you could see it. But to the naked eye, again, it's difficult to see if it was handball. So I can understand why it went to VAR, why it might have gone through as, not conclusive enough. But I've seen one that's pretty conclusive. I'm talking about a screenshot of this. So it's a tough decision. You don't have much time to look at it with VAR. But I don't think they got this right, Max. Well, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my main question is, I don't understand the rule. Because do you remember when we played Tottenham?
Yep.
Two seasons ago in the Premier League. And Lamina had the handball, which led to the magic goal, which got ruled off. And then there's a big, you know, fuss made over the Premier League had changed the rule, like essentially the day after or something, saying that if it's an unintentional handball from an attacking player in the build-up, the goal stands. Wouldn't this fall under that?
Right.
So right. I honestly don't know, but it seems to me that because of the rule they changed after we had this goal would stand because – you can't argue that Saliba intentionally hit off his elbow as a ricochet. So isn't that the correct call? I don't know. I mean, obviously it looks bad on the replay, but isn't that right?
That's a great question because I'm not sure. Mike, what are your thoughts on this?
No, Max is spot on. I think that is exactly why it stood because during the match, at least the stream I was watching, the only VAR that we got was from behind the goal. So you couldn't see where the ball was hitting at all. So I had no reason to doubt what VAR was seeing. And then I saw the screenshot, I'm assuming that you are referring to, Russ, where it's a very obvious on his arm, below the elbow, not a natural position. Then again, he's jumping midair. I mean, what's a natural position at that point?
Right.
But I think Max is spot on. It's because of the rule that they changed after we were screwed over that came to bite us in the rear end yet again. So that's very Fulhamish, right, to have that happen.
Exactly. It is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that we're talking about it. And, you know, it's difficult because, again, I remember that. I'm glad that Max brought that up because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Max, look at the brain on Max. Max brought us back. But it doesn't mean that we can't be upset by it, that we can't think, you know, disappointed by it. But to Max's point, that's probably why it stood the way it did. But I could tell that Max and Marco Silva still wasn't happy with it.
No, but I mean, come on. Can we talk about Leno? I love Leno. He had a great game.
Yep.
Does he have some fault here? I mean, a keeper, if you jump for the ball and you fall down and it gets tapped into an empty net, I don't want to blame him too much because, again, he saved us multiple times in the match.
Right.
I don't know. I always saw this more as Leno came out and didn't get the ball and just was weak.
Okay. Well, again, we can talk about that. I definitely want to go into more depth about that, Max, when we talk about the second half. I do want to share this comment. Looks like it's from an Arsenal supporter, so I'm just going to read this, guys. As an Arsenal fan, I was impressed with how Fulham played, especially second half. Silva has got the team well organized and tough to break down. Fulham have a real chance to survive in the Premier League. Max, I agree with Darren here. Darren, thank you for watching, and thank you for the comment.
Cheers, Darren. Yeah, and also Chris Goodwin on the chat also says Leno's at fault, so that's an interesting perspective. And I see Dave Cronin saying, big shout-out for Tim Ream. He was immense, so.
Yeah, he was. More.
I mean, Tim Ream, very quickly, Mike mentioned it. I thought he'd be the weak link. Every single Fulham supporter I talked to, even people who didn't support Fulham, said, if you start Tim Ream, you're going to go down.
Oh,
and I agreed.
Yep.
I owe him a big apology. He has
I probably
unbelievably surpassed my expectations. He should be on the plane to Qatar for the World Cup, without a doubt. If we United States men's national team center back playing at this level in the best league in the world, there's no doubt he should be in the World Cup team.
The way he's playing, I would agree with that. And Max, if you owe an apology for Tim Ream, I probably owe a six-pack or maybe more than that to Anthony Robinson, because I've just been killing him for the past year, and he's been proving me wrong. So congratulations to Anthony Robinson, because he's playing at a top level. To play against the players that he's played and keep them quiet, we're talking about Mo Salah, and then you said Saka? I mean, that's truly unbelievable. I didn't think he had it in him. Players can get better. So congratulations to Anthony Robinson, because he's playing at a really high level. So that's my mea culpa. You might have Tim Ream. My mea culpa is definitely Anthony Robinson. I definitely want to say that, guys. All right, let's move on. Let's get back to talking about this match. And let's start with the starting 11. Guys, Giannis, I'll give you first crack at this. What were your thoughts an hour before the match?
Well, Naiskins was back. So that meant that Jay Stansfield was going to go to the bench as a shame, because I thought he had a super debut last week against Brentford. It's the 11 that I thought we'd have, measured, obviously organized.
You okay there, Giannis? Did we lose you, Giannis?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep. Yeah, we're good.
Somebody's coming on my ear. I don't know what it is. No, I thought it was a very measured lineup. So something's talking to me from the BBC. I'm sorry.
No problem. I'll come back.
Okay, I rectified it. You know, the thing I was thinking when I saw the lineup is, if you look at the bench again, what options does Marco Silva have? And I would imagine that when Marco left the Emirates last night, he phoned Mr. Khan, who hopefully wasn't dancing in a ring somewhere, and said, get off your keister, because for the next 72 hours, what you do now will be absolutely massive. Because there was, I want to go back to the second Arsenal goal.
Yep.
There's a still that's been going around social media.
Yep, that's what we were just talking about.
But it was the still of Issa Diop.
Oh, okay.
Doing the rounds. He was standing right next to Gabriel as he was about to score. And the notion was, what exactly was he doing, standing as he was doing? And right now, three, four players that could go into the lineup will help us, because it's going to take time to bed in, especially with the World Cup coming. So this is a critical few days. I think Marco and the staff have done a magnificent job, and I think the players have been magnificent. This is the lineup I think they had to put out.
Right.
And really, I think they did themselves proud yesterday.
Right. And Giannis, listen, to the credit of the players we're talking about, Max giving credit to Tim Ream. We're talking about Niskins Cabana, who, let's be honest, I love Niskins Cabana. Was he a starter in the Premier League? No, he's not a starter in the Premier League. Bobby Dekker de Overeem, is he a starter in the Premier League? Maybe a bench player, but really, again, being asked to play above their heads, and they're doing it time and time again. That's a credit to them. It's also a credit to Marco to getting the most out of them. So when you look at it, and I'm glad that we were talking about this at the beginning of the show, when you look at the players out there, there are some championship players that are starting in the Premier League and doing a good job, but we need reinforcements. So I understand where you're going on this. I think we can get by for a while. At some point, it's going to show itself more. And that's kind of why the next few days are crucial. I agree with you, Giannis. If I'm Mr. Khan, I'm giving Marco whatever he needs I understand FFP, but at this point, give the coach what he needs to succeed because he's doing a job for you, but we need more players. I agree. I've said five. I'll take three or four if that's what is needed. Impact players. Okay. Over to you, Mr. O'Connor. Your thoughts on the starting 11.
Yeah, I don't think Marco had much of a choice. And to everyone's point so far on this podcast or this show, we've got Jay Stansfield, Tyrese Francois, and Luke Harris on the bench. And that is no disrespect to those young men at all.
Right.
But they are sitting on the bench for the Premier League at their age, coming from our academy, with very to zero Premier League experience. I mean, two of them barely have any championship experience, right, to begin with. So,
right.
If we had Solomon, if we had Wilson, if they weren't injured, if BDR and Cabano are on the bench, I mean, I think you're looking at a different side with more impact subs with skill. I think Bobby Decker Overreed, he is such a technically gifted player. I think he does fit well in the Premier League. But is he a starter all the time?
Well, that's the whole thing, Mike. That's
yeah,
my point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I think he played the bench that everyone would expect him to play, and he was kind of forced to play to try and get a result out of this. The only thing to Giannis's point about Jay Stansfield is I think he is an incredibly bright talent, and I think he's wonderful. And so whether he starts or he comes on regularly as a substitute at this point, he is one of the key, probably the only key figure that will switch out regularly at this point.
Okay, very good. I want to just share a comment from our friend Chris Goodwin, who happens to be a Liverpool supporter but watches every one of our shows, which is great. Chris said this: the Fulham players clearly watch and listen to Cottage Talk. I hope that's true. I do hope that's true. Thank you, Chris, for that. Thank you for chiming in. All right, guys, let's get to it. Coming up next, we're going to break down this match. We're going to go through both halves. And if we have some time, I have a little bonus section. Dan Crawford from Hamian.com has his player ratings. I think we're going to go through that at the very end of the show. Okay, guys, let's get to it. Let's talk about the first half. Mr. Cohen, I'll give you first crack at this. Give me just your overall analysis of how Fulham played in the first half.
Yeah, we sat back. We absorbed pressure. I think we maybe had one attack the entire half. And I think that about says it all, that we were camped in our own half for much of that game, much of that first 45. And I think the big moment for me was Tim Ream had a great clearance and looked like he hurt his back, but he bounced back up. Martinelli hit the bar off a corner. Leno had a huge save on Saka. So Arsenal were definitely on the ascendancy, no doubt about it. But it wasn't quite as under the cosh as I think some others might have expected. There were periods of pressure, but there weren't too many clear-cut chances.
No,
that being said, we didn't offer anything as an attacking side, but that was fine. But again, I think what was key is then the half ended 0-0. And in so many other matches we've seen in the Premier League in recent memory, we're down 1 or 2-0 in the first 15, 20 minutes away at a top six side. And I think Mike said it really well to start off with. We look the most comfortable, well-drilled squad, I'd argue, since, 2012, 13. I mean, this is like 9-10 years back. But the point is, this Fulham team looks like they belong in the Premier League. And that was my big takeaway from the match, is that, yes, we lost, but the fact that we're leading, we're not conceding that first half. This Fulham team seems like a Premier League team. You could not really have said that in recent memory.
Totally agree, Max. It's actually a good analysis. And it's funny because Marco talked a little bit about this, that if you look at the entire match, how many clear-cut chances did Arsenal really have? They had some decent chances, but nothing that Leno couldn't save, and I watched back again, and it was interesting because I watched the halftime analysis from NBC Sports, and Robbie Musto was basically, singing the praises of Fulham. Don't forget about Fulham, but he was concerned that we wouldn't be able to keep this pace up for 90 minutes. I guess you could say he turned out to be right, but he was impressed with how we sat up and how we handled their pressure. And he thought that Arsenal was doing everything right, except they just couldn't score. But that comes down to Fulham, Giannis. So when I'm looking at the analysis, and I thought Max did a great job of talking about it, you could talk about how well Arsenal played, but they didn't score. And if you don't score, I think a lot of that has to do with the opposition, Giannis. Your thoughts on the first half?
Yeah, you can have 99.9% possession. If you don't score, it doesn't matter. And I thought we looked very compact in the midfield. Defensively, we looked organised. It does put a big smile on my face to see us play a really good Arsenal side, and they are.
They are very good.
They are. Although I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Silva's the better coach. I mean, I'd like to see what Silva would do with a lineup like that. I mean, Arsenal stacked top to bottom and bench. But I think the true test of coaching is what you can do when you have less. And you look at the organisation of our team, you say, I mean, we've given Liverpool an awful fright. We should have won at Wolves, but we didn't. We deservedly beat Brentford, and we should have got something yesterday. And considering the lack of reinforcements and what he's had to play with, Marco and the coaching staff have done a magnificent job. So I didn't think that in the first half they were going to break us down. I honestly felt that if they were going to score, it was going to be either from a set piece or from an element of luck. And that's the way it went. But you take it away and you say, okay, well, for the most part, you know, we went toe-to-toe with a team that looks like it could be top four at least this year, that should be battling for Europa League this year. And there's a lot to take forward. But as I said, the next few days, and notwithstanding Brighton, who don't have a particularly good record against us, on Tuesday, who are playing tremendously well right now on Tuesday, but there's a lot to be hopeful about. And we're playing at the Cottage on Tuesday, so that's going to be something to look forward to.
Absolutely, Yanis. And I just think that what you just said is pretty spot on to how I feel and what we're watching. And if you go and look at who they played against, and then I'm not trying to take a jab at Scott Parker and Bournemouth, but they played Arsenal, and I believe they lost 3-0. Fulham go down 2-1. And if you look how we've competed against these top sides, I mean, it's like night and day. It's night and day from two seasons ago. It's night and day from under Slavisa. We are set up to stay in the Premier League and hopefully at some point, maybe, like I said, thrive in the Premier League to the point where we're comfortable. Again, I think that a lot has to do with reinforcements. If they don't get the reinforcements, then it's going to be a relegation battle. And then, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. But good stuff. Over to you, Mr. O'Connor, your thoughts in the first half.
Yeah, just to kind of jump on what your last comment there about reinforcements is Marco's quote after is the team is ready, the squad is not, right? So some of the players he has now, they're ready, but the squad as a whole is not. And he's spot on. And he's not saying that in any way to disrespect his own players, because you can tell they play for him. He loves them. There's this great fraternal vibe going on, but he's absolutely right. And I will say, to play devil's advocate, if there is still an Arsenal fan listening on this broadcast, I do think that we were quite fortunate with some of Arsenal's inability to score, because from my perspective, again, maybe a little bit devil's advocate here, I thought they had made enough clear-cut chances to put two or three past us if they either just put their foot through the ball, they didn't dilly-dally and look for the proper pass to pass it in. That being said, previous Fulham sides would have probably just gone defensive from the off. And I think what stopped Arsenal and made them nervy is that you could not sit back on this Fulham side, because our counterattacking, Marco's way of playing out from the back, that's what puts them off. Right, they're not coming in knowing that we're going to camp inside our own 12-yard box.
Mike, we were dangerous every time we had the counter.
Every time. So you can't have all those players up front if you know you've got people that can do that, a team that can do that to you. So on one side for the first half, I think we were fortunate that Arsenal didn't bury some clear-cut chances they made, especially when we talk about the second half. Yep. But I think 60-40, the 60% goes, we played superior defensive football, and we were able to show that we belong here. And I think the first half 0-0 is a fair first half.
Okay, I'm going to share this comment, guys, and this is from Dave Cronin. Arsenal had 72% possession, 22 shots, only 8 on target. Fulham 11, 3 on target, and we still could have won the game. And Yanis is rejoining us. I'll go back to him in a second. Max, what are your thoughts about that from Dave Cronin? Statistics on the game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, is that Arsenal are pretty wasteful at times. I think there was that Xhaka chance first half, and I thought for sure that would be in the back of that, and he just shanked it. So to see they only had 8 on target, it's kind of shocking. And we only had 3 on target, but you know, one of those is a goal, and you know, we were clinical. And we'll talk about the Mitrovic goal, you know, later, but very satisfying when we take that lead.
Okay, excellent. And that's going to bring us right to that goal. Thank you for leading us there, Max, because we're not going to talk about the goal. Mr. Janaeus, I'm going to give you the honors here. And it's funny because Gabriel was the GOAT and then becomes the hero in this match, right? But this, to me, has more to do with Mitro than it does with Gabriel. His work rate, his desire, and again, you could call it a terrible mistake, which it was, for Arsenal. But Mitro makes this goal happen, Giannis. This is what makes him special.
Yeah, it only becomes a mistake. I mean, Gabriel's had a lot of stick from Arsenal fans about that goal. But to me, it's not so much a mistake. I think it's reflective of Mitro's bullying. I mean, he was determined to get the ball. He got the ball, knocked it back, and he smacked it home. You could say because it's 1v1, he's the last defender. He shouldn't be dilly-dallying at the edge of the box. But, I mean, that's where Mitro is from 2 years ago. This is a guy who's so committed in terms of everything that he does. I've heard no mentions of this. I'm not deliberately creating rumors here. But you can't tell me there aren't teams right now that are looking at the way he's playing and going, oh my good God, could we entice him away from the cottage with the right bid?
Right.
Because that goal was symptomatic of how far he's come as a player. I mean, it's almost as if that goal, that winning goal for Serbia in the World Cup qualifier against Portugal, that incredible header, it really was, is just telling you where his confidence level is right now. And there are many teams that would give a lot of money for a striker like him. And it's not so much even the chances that are created for him. He created it on himself. That was all him.
That was and all him.
Yes. All him. That was all him. Him. And all Gabriel him. And defenders have had mares like that.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. So that you've got to get, and strikers are taught, you close down and you make it difficult for defenders. And that's exactly what he did. The finish was clinical,
yep.
And it was a super goal.
Okay. And I'm just going to share some comments and I'm going to go to you, Mike. This is from Steve Runs because we're talking about Mitro. Previously, Mitro would have gone down. Now he wants to attack the goal. It's a good point. This is from our friend Chris Goodwin. Arsenal messed about at the back and paid for it because Mitro saw the opportunity and turned nothing into something. That's exactly what he did. This is from Darren Clark, again, an Arsenal supporter. Darren, thank you so much for chiming in here. Silva is also playing to Mitrovic's strengths, more crosses into the box. Every time Fulham got the ball into our box, he caused us problems. Looks like he will thrive in the Premier League season. Over to you, Mike. See, I wanted to go to you here because I'm glad that we're talking about Mitro, because this is a big difference from, say, two seasons ago or even under Savisa. We're playing to his strengths. This is not just a credit to Mitro, but also to Marco, to finding a way to maximize the abilities of Alexander Mitrovic.
Yeah, and I think what Marco's done, unlike the previous two managers, is that rather than being the typical old-school center forward, give him crosses, big guy in the box, not very quick, but he's powerful, he's looked at him and said, mate, you're going to create your own chances. We're not going to give them for you. I want you to come back, link up the play. You see him constantly running back to the halfway line.
Constantly.
In this match, he did a cross-field pass all the way to Cabano.
And it was fantastic,
as a center forward on a wing. Like, he's telling him, you have free reign up from the halfway line. That's you. You dominate. You do what you need to win. And I think that ability, that freelance, if you will, to play how Mitrovic wants and giving him his pass to do so has made Mitrovic more hungry, more confident. It fits with how he wants to play. And I will say to Gabriel, that was the second time he tried to mess about with Mitrovic that game. The first one was in the first half, and he almost got caught out. And I called it. I said, if he tries that again, Mitrovic is going to pounce on him. And I had an Arsenal mate next to me, and he said, what do you mean? I'm like, no. Mitrovic doesn't forget. He's coming back for that. And he did. And he absolutely did. And then there was a third time where Gabriel tried to outrun him, and he was very fortunate that it ricocheted off Mitrovic chasing him down and went out for a goal kick. Because Mitrovic, two seasons ago, maybe definitely under Parker, but under anybody else, might have not gone for that. Maybe he would have been more lethargic, but he is fit. He's hungry. He's powerful. And he's going to create unorthodox goals because he's an unorthodox guy, and that's what makes him who he is.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Okay. Mad Max, whichever Max you are, I'm going back to you. Let's talk about, unfortunately, the equalizer from Arsenal. Now, this is a deflection, but I want to talk about the person who scored this because I thought he was, if I'm an Arsenal supporter, Odegaard, I thought, was the man of the match. I thought he was dominant, set everything up, really just controlled the play. But this was a deflection, so I'm going to ask you a question. Do you put anything on Leno on this, or is this just, again, listen, it was a good player making a play, deflects, I believe, off of Tosin, goes in the back of the net. Do you put any on Leno?
No, because you're right, the Tosin deflection was super crucial. I put the blame on the defense or the central midfielders because you can't let Odegaard, who, as you mentioned, was by far the best player on the pitch, I'd say yesterday, dominant, just essentially run, you know, 20, 30 yards unopposed. He had a full head of steam. And the reason which the shot went in is because we were sitting back. Tosin was kind of static and it hit off him, but no one's applying pressure. No one's actually stepping to Odegaard, you know, out of fear or out of just, you know, we'll try to contain him. But that was a mistake. I mean, a player like that absolutely cannot give him any time or space around the area.
Yep. No, good point there. And at that point, guys, we're at 1-1 and you're thinking like, Giannis, I'll go back to you, because at this point we're thinking, okay, let's get a point. And I think that's where the situation lies with Marco, because you're at 1-1 and we have the substitution. So let's talk about this now before we talk about the Arsenal winning goal. Thoughts on the changes that Marco made, and did you agree with them at the time?
I was a little hesitant on them, but then, you know, a lot of substitutions you're looking at often is gut move. You know, so Mbabu's coming on, but he's only coming on for 10 minutes. Cabano's first game back for a couple. Kearney for the last 20, that's okay. I was a little, the one that sort of concerned me a bit was actually Pereira coming off and Diop coming on. I wasn't comfortable with the way he played against Crawley on Tuesday. I know he's not played for a little while. But you're at a new club, you've got to go out and, you know, prove what you got. And that's the one that, you know, just got me a little bit hesitant. But going back to the equalising goal.
Yes.
Odegaard, the Martin Odegaard that Arsenal are seeing is the Martin Odegaard that Real Madrid signed as a 15-year-old. They signed this kid. He was supposed to be the wonder kid. And he was in and out of reserves. I think he spent some time at Sociedad. Yep. And Arsenal are reaping the benefits of all the potential that Odegaard has had for many, many years. People knew how good he could be. My criticism of that equalising goal is actually with Tosin. Because if you look at the shot that came into me, he looked like he was sticking his leg out waiting for a bus. I would suspect if Tim Ream was there, his body would have gotten away. I thought it was a half-hearted, even from that close range. And it was just took the slightest deflection to wrong foot Leno. So I think if they look at the videotape, I think Marco might look and say, you know what, that close out, you've got to be, even at that speed, you've got to give him more concerted effort, because it was just that little deflection that was going to wrong foot Leno. Having said that, with the subs, I mean, again, we're going to go back to you. Let's look at their bench for a second, right?
I know, it's crazy when Smith you look at the bench. It's crazy, Kessier, as Mike said earlier.
It's ridiculous. I mean, they're so much stronger than us. And, you know, again, with the hand that he's dealt, he's doing the very best he can. I'm not going to throw shade at Marco, because the game plan worked. And if he thinks and the coaches think that maybe there's something that they could have done a little different, I think they'll see that. And with better players, the options off the bench in terms of selection process is going to be easier because you've got better players to bring up.
I'm glad that you brought this up, Giannis, because I was thinking when you were watching back the match, I'm thinking in a close match, you're playing Arsenal. How can you change the match? It's very difficult with the bench form had to, quote unquote, change the match. Arsenal can do that left and right. Liverpool can do that. Most clubs can do that. Right now, Fulham can't do it, partially because of injury and partially because of recruitment. And it makes things harder on the coach and the players, who are giving you everything that they possibly can.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need help. And when your help is the situation that they have with some youngsters who, again, are giving you everything that they can, they need more help. They need help that can be on a high-end quality help. And right now they certainly do not have that if you compare it to Arsenal. And Arsenal can change the game. Fulham right now can't. And that's a difficult place to be. But they still held their own. And in my mind, I think I can make the argument that they deserved the point. They didn't get it. And that's going to lead to talk about the winning goal here. And Mike, I'm going to go to you because Max already brought this up.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about this. How much do you put on Leno on the goal? Let's not talk about the VAR. Let's talk about the actual goal.
I don't, honestly, I try and stay away from criticizing goalkeepers too much. It's an incredibly difficult position when the box is filled with 6'4" folks in there as well. He missed his punch, yes. He collapsed on the ground a little bit there, yes. But I will say, to go back to the previous point, my biggest issue with the substitutions beyond timing, I think you could have waited a little bit longer, but that's just figuring out your players, is why Diop, why not Shane Duffy? Because Shane Duffy is the man you want in the middle to head balls away. I think if Shane Duffy is where Diop is, even if Leno is there, Shane Duffy's strong, big enough, experienced enough. He's actually had a full preseason for the most part with Brighton to know how to do that. Why Diop came on, especially after Crawley Town, I don't understand Diop. Mbabu, I got. Yes, he got smoked by Martinelli three times, exact same way, leading to three different corners that eventually resulted in the goal. That's hard to come in to a game when you have cold legs against someone like Martinelli, who's fast, and a team that's in flow. So really the substitutions, he has what he has. My biggest concern was Diop, not Duffy. And I think that Leno, I don't fault. I fault more so the defense that just kind of stood there and crowded him out. And as you said, when you see Gabriel hit it, Diop's kind of just standing there like, what do I do? And it's not good enough. And West Ham obviously agreed, and they offloaded him. So I think – not to be critical of Diop, he has the potential to be fantastic. I do. I think he's a big guy. He's strong. But would I have put him over Duffy if you're going to make that change? No, I would have brought on Shane Duffy instead.
It's an interesting second guess. Giannis, over to you. How much do you put on Leno?
I'm not going to. No, I don't. There's a lot of pressure in the box, but if the foul is there, the foul is there. Diop was standing there like a lamppost, and Duffy can't play. Duffy can't play for us on Tuesday against Brighton because
that's right.
Right, so might as well stick Duffy out there. Duffy's one of the best headers of the ball in the Premier League.
It's a good point.
So stick him out there. His performances so far have been decent. So why not do that? But one Diop's biggest problem is not going to be to prove it to his coaches, is to prove it to his teammates. You got players that will have bust their you-know-what for 80, 90 minutes, see someone lollygagging onto the field. You know, changing rooms afterwards can be pretty hot-headed places. I can see Mitro walking over and going, you might do this at the Olympic, but you don't do it here. And I think, you know, it's proving that to your teammates in a situation like that, in a melee with 4 minutes to go, that's going to get you the respect of your teammates. Because your respect to your teammates is going to be more important than the fans. If the teammates have got your back, you can deal with anything else. And that's where I think with Duffy showed himself to be a model professional since coming in, and he's a good little pickup, but he can't play on Tuesday. So I would have put him in over Diop. Diop shouldn't be anywhere near the team until he's fully match fit and until he's fully emotionally committed to the cause when he comes on the field.
Okay, good stuff, guys. Great stuff. Okay, so unfortunately after that, listen, Fulham had an opportunity with a shot from Chalobah from the cross, from the set piece from Harrison Reed, but it ends. Fulham losing 2-1, and again, like I've mentioned before, I thought that they acquitted themselves very well, and they lose, but again, I think they gained some respect, and I think that they deserve me personally potentially to get something out of the match. But, you know, credit to Arsenal. They did create a lot of opportunities. They were the better side. They got all 3 points, and we move on. But before we move on to end the show, guys, I am going to ask you man of the match. But before I do that, I thought a fun way to end the show would be to go through player ratings. We used to do a whole show on player ratings. We're going to kind of do it a little bit rapid fire just for time's sake. But Dan Crawford just posted his player ratings on hamian.com. And Dan is a former co-host, and actually Dan wants to come back on the show. We'll have Dan back on the show. I love Dan. Dan is one of the reasons why Cottage Talk continued. So thank you to Dan Crawford. And he has a great podcast right now called The Green Pole. Highly recommend it. But I'm going to share this with you guys on my screen, and we're going to go through the player ratings. Sound good? Quickly. We'll go through them quickly and get your thoughts. I'll go back and forth between the three of you so we can get through all the players. So let me share my screen. So just give me a second, and we'll share it, and we'll go through the player ratings from Dan Crawford. Let me pull this up. Let's see. Here we go. And now I'm going to share the player ratings. Okay. Giannis, I'll go to you first. Bern Leno, he gives a 7.5. Do you agree or disagree?
Disagree. I'd give him a 7. I thought he played well, but again, it was that crucial, the second goal. I mean, yeah, foul notwithstanding. Nice save from Xhaka. He still needs a little bit more time, but Rhodey's going to have a difficult job getting back in. But 7. 7's a good performance. 7's, yeah. 7's okay. Better than 0. So.
Okay. Mike, Kenny Tete, he gives him an 8. Do you agree or disagree?
I'd give Kenny an 8.5 for sure. Okay. I think he kept Martinelli in his pocket or whoever when they switched them out on the wings, him and Robinson, they had them locked up for the most time. So there's a few crucial saves that Tete did with his last minute tackling too. So I'd give him probably an 8.5.
Okay. Max Tosin, Dan Crawford gives him a 7.5. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think that's about fair. I think, you know, was he at fault for the first goal? Maybe. But I think I can also easily think of a bunch of situations when his recovery pace stopped an Arsenal attack. So I think 7, 7.5 is the right range. Yeah.
Okay. Right back to you, Tim Ream. You're mea culpa now. He gives him an 8.5. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think that's a very good score. I think 8.5 is spot on. Tim Ream might even be the man of the match. So we'll see how the ratings pan out. Well, but I would not be surprised if 8.5 is the best Dan gave.
Okay. Well, we will do man of the match at the very end, guys. Giannis, back over to you. Anthony Robinson gets an 8. My mea culpa. I think that he put on a great performance. I think 8's fair. Agree or disagree, Giannis?
I agree. I think 8 is a very good rating there. And I think that it's interesting that we're not really talking about Gabriel Jesus, who's
no,
it's a great shout.
Yeah, he's been.
How about Saka?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did a really good number on the strikers today, and we're gonna. I mean, there aren't going to be many better teams with better strike force than Arsenal have got. So, Robinson technically has improved, and again, he's got an eye on the World Cup, but I think he's probably going to be the starting left back, I would think. But nonetheless, played very well. Yeah, I do agree with the 8.
Okay. Mike, over to you. This is an interesting one. Harrison Reed, he gives a 6.5. Now, the issue with this is that Odegaard was fantastic. So do you put it more on Harrison Reed or Paulinho? But he gives Harrison Reed a 6.5. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I'm actually, not to skip ahead, but I'm looking at Bobby Decker over Reed getting a 6 and Harrison Reed getting a 6.5. I would actually swap the two. I think Reed was largely non-existent that game. He runs his socks off. He's great. He puts his body on the line, but I actually think he was very non-existent that game. Whether it is because Odegaard is just that smooth and silky and great, which he is, but I just don't think it was his best shift.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would give him a 6.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Max, over to you. Paulinho, he gives a 7.5. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think that's about fair. I think 7, 7.5. That's a fair range. I think he needs to watch himself. I think someone in the comments said he already has 3 bookings in the first 4 matches. I love his aggression. Sometimes it can get a bit out of hand.
Yeah.
But I think very good. And I think one thing we haven't mentioned this show, which I've talked about in the past, I think the reason we're seeing Tim Ream play so well, we're seeing Tosin play well. Is because Paulinho. Of João Paulinho.
Absolutely, Max.
Central defensive midfield, I really believe, is one of the most important positions, if not the most important position in a team. And it's such a great asset. We have someone like Paulinho there.
Okay. Giannis, back over to you. You know, it's funny. This player is becoming one of my favorite players. Andres Pereira, 7. Agree or disagree?
7 is Dan's got it again. 7. I mean, it was a tough game for him, but he doesn't, to me, look recognizable as the same player when he played for United. His work rate has been excellent, and he's running up. He's covering every blade of grass, and there seems to be a good understanding between him and Harrison, and Joao. This was a very hard game. I mean,
right.
For us. I mean, this isn't I won't offend other fans, but on this one, but going to the Emirates is one of the toughest stadiums you can go to and get anything. And I was a little disappointed when Pereira was brought off. So I'd give him, yeah, 7's a good one for me.
Okay, very good. All right. Max, back over to you. Niskanen, Cabano, 7.5. Agree or disagree?
I'd maybe go a bit lower, 6.5, 7. I thought he was good, but when I think of the actual attacking situations, not great. And the one situation I really think of is when he had the counterattack. Yep. And I can't remember who it was, but there's someone who was free in the center. And Cabano, you know, it's unlucky, but the ball hits a standing foot and he just whiffs. That really was a golden opportunity just to square it. And we could maybe could have, you know, gotten a second goal there.
Right.
But let's also give him a shout out. I'll criticize him, but that touch he had from the Mitro ball, which Mike was talking about, yep, that was one of the best skills I've seen all season in the Prem. I mean, what a touch that was.
Unbelievable. I'm glad that Mike brought that up. It was fantastic. Okay. All right, Mike, back over to you. Let's talk about Mitro. Dan gives him an 8. Agree or disagree?
I'd have to give him, if, you know, he's rivaling for man of the match, but I would say he's probably an 8, probably right. He did earn the goal himself, and we could give him an 8.5, but I think the defensive unit of our team was really the standout against this Arsenal squad, so 8's probably fair.
Okay. I'm just going to share the ratings for the substitutes, and you guys could, I'll go to all three of you just overall about the substitutes. Kearney gets a 7.5, and Babu gets a 5. Issa Diop gets a 5.5. And Chalaba gets a 6. Jay Stansfield gets a 5. Giannis, over to you. Any thoughts about the ratings with the substitutes?
I wouldn't give Issa a 5.5. I might put the decimal point one to the left on that one. I thought Kearney played really well when he came on. Babu, I think I feel a bit bad for him because you know, people forget, you know, the goal last week against Brentford, the setup, and you know, he's up against you know, they were flying. They were going all guns blazing at that particular right time. Chalaba makes me nervous every time he comes on the field. He does. And I think looking ahead to that transfer deadline and looking at the subs, because we're allowed 5, you look at the players we're bringing off and you're going, oh, God. We just don't have that. We don't have the depth. It is what it is, right? And right, we've had months to get the depth, and the breadth is not far off, but the depth is way off the mark. I thought Kearney was the best of the 5, it's good to see he's got some life in the old dog yet. But ultimately, they just had a little bit more strength and depth than we did.
Okay, Max, your thoughts on the substitutes and the ratings from Dan Crawford?
Yeah, I think I think they're all largely spot on. Chalaba, you do have to give him a shout out though. He nearly scored a equalizer, yep, very late on.
He did,
and that's not an easy connection to make with the volley coming in. He's on full stretch, so yep, got him.
Okay, Mike, how about you?
Yeah, overall, no complaints. I think Dan largely got it right. I think the substitutes largely right, and I think it's also very difficult as a sub to come in against that game. So it's nothing really necessarily against any of them, but yeah, it was just a tough one to come into. So I think he's pretty spot on.
Okay. All right, guys, to end the show, we'll do man of the match. Max, I'll give you first crack at it. Who's your man of the match?
I have to go Anthony Robinson. I was thinking, wow, Tim Ream, thinking Mitro, but Robinson, I mean, he was just
every excellent time you mention him, I yeah feel bad. I don't know why. Every single time.
he forced a booking out of an Arsenal play. Ben White, I think it was, very early on, which was key for us.
Yeah.
It seemed every single time someone tried to run at him, he just stood strong, which is not something we've seen in the past. And I'm just very impressed with this play.
Okay. Mr. O'Connor, and again, thank you so much for joining us. Who's your man of the match?
It's Anthony Robinson as well. Kept Saka quiet. I think most of our counterattacks, when he would sprint forward, were spot on. And I think largely the entire defensive unit is as a whole was great. But I think Robinson just by like 0.1 nudges Tim Ream for me.
Seriously, does he listen to the show? Because if he does, he's going to be pretty upset at me. So I hope Anthony Robinson doesn't listen to Cottage Talk, but he might be. All right, over to you, Giannis. Who's your man of the match?
Tim Ream. I thought he was absolutely – I mean, I thought Robinson had an excellent game. I thought Mitro worked so hard. But for me, Ream was measured. He was quality. He was calm. He was assured. He played as a captain. He was absolutely brilliant. It's you know, a lot of us questioned the 1 year extension to the contract.
Yeah.
But oh dear, I will cheerfully admit, you know, I thought it was magnificent. He'd be around as a squad player. I hope that he's kept on in a coaching capacity next year. No disrespect to Harry Arter, but I thought he has played. He's left me with egg on my face with his performances this year. And I mean, I probably would have given him a 9 for yesterday. It was superb. So I give it to Tim.
And what's funny is that the Americans are putting egg on our faces, Giannis. It's crazy.
Yes, they are. Yes.
The Americans of all Americans. Players, you know, they're embarrassing us, Giannis. Okay. I'm going to share some men of the match comments from our supporters, and we got a good amount of them.
Ross, who is yours? Who's your man of the match?
Oh, that's right. I'd like to give him my man of the match. I'm going to give it to Anthony Robinson. Yes, Anthony, if you're watching and listening, I'm going to give it to you. You were phenomenal. To do what you've done against these top high-quality players, I'm going to give it to Anthony Robinson, but you can make a shout for Tim Ream as well, but I'm going to give it to Anthony Robinson. So that's where I'm going. But our friend here says, man of the match, Robinson, shout out to Ream. So we're kind of on the same page with this. Dave Cronin, Tim Ream or Robinson? Tim just shaded it for me. Let's see what else Dave said. I meant Tim Ream. Yes, I understand that. Let's see. Showtime, 33, love the Robinson pick. Rob versus Saka push. Let's see what else we've got here, guys, to end the show. Let's see. Combe, my friend Combe says, Tete, man of the match for me. We really haven't talked that much about him, but I see the point. Steve Woodyard goes Tim Ream. Steve Reynolds, Tim Ream. Chris Goodwin, who happens to be a Liverpool supporter, but a Patriots fan, Max. Yes, he's a Patriots fan. Chris Goodwin says, I was going to go for Leno, but the mistake was costly, so I will go for Championship Tim Ream as man of the match. I love that. Thank you, Chris, as always, for watching all of my shows. And guys, we will wrap this up. Before we go, Mr. O'Connor, thank you so much for coming back. It's been a long time. I hope you can join us again and again. You were fantastic today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you, gents.
Okay. Mr. Janaeus, thank you, as always, for a great show. It was a great show.
Yeah, it was an excellent show, and it's nice to, you don't ever want to lose. But the next 48 hours, I know, Rush, you will be glued to every deadline rumor.
Even though I hate it, I'm glued to it. I hate it, but it's a weird addiction, Giannis, because I check Twitter every day. I happen to check right now. We are broadcasting this live. It is currently 4 p.m. or 4:02, 4:05, and I happen to see a link, finally, it's been days, to a player in Turkey, of all things, a winger. So that might be a little worrying to some, because what's going on with Justin Kluivert? But yes, I'm following all. I am a hypocrite. I complain about it, but I follow it all. So Russ Goldman, the hypocrite.
And then there's Max. There's Mad Max.
Mad Max or Optimus Max. Are you Optimus Max?
Yeah, okay. How can I not be after such a great show with you guys? Great to have Mike back on. Great to see Giannis, of course, and captaining the ship as always.
Okay. And Colm, thank you for mentioning that, because please do subscribe. It really does help other Fulham supporters find us. The numbers keep going up and up. We're about like 550 right now, but I'd like to someday really see that triple or quadruple the amount on YouTube, because I've watched so many videos on YouTube, and I just think that it's a great way to watch Cottage Talk. So please do subscribe. One final thing, guys, before we go, and I tweeted this out. I can't tell you at this point what's going on, but I can say that we are hopefully going to have an announcement soon, something exciting for Cottage Talk. And again, hopefully we will have that soon, within a few days, but something is looking pretty good, but I can't announce it until it becomes official. But be on the lookout for an announcement from Cottage Talk. Might not be in the next show, but in probably the next couple of shows, we will be announcing something that I think is going to take Cottage Talk to the next level. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Great show, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For the return of Mike O'Connor, obviously, Giannis Giannis and Max Cohen. I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.